The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Every year, the fourth Sunday of Easter, we celebrate Good Shepherd Sunday. And so we always hear at least an excerpt from the parable on the Good Shepherd. And so tonight is the smallest of all the readings of the cycle of three readings. And what is the first line? Our Lord says, "My sheep hear my voice." Our Lord Jesus Christ speaks to every single one of us. And when he speaks to us, he speaks in a unique way. Because when the Word of God comes to us, it's always in the mode of the recipient. It's always in the way that a person can hear it, can understand. For example, last year, I was with a group of priests. We get together each summer, and it's for continuing academic education, but also for good priestly fraternity, good priestly camaraderie. So we gather at a different location each summer. And there's a group of maybe 12, 15 of us who get together. And this one priest shared his vocation story. And he told us about how after finishing Harvard Law School, this guy's one of the most intelligent men I've ever met, finishes Harvard Law School, one of the top students in his class signs on with a big firm in the country. And during his law school experience, he said he had somewhat of a reversion, because during law school, he started to read a lot of St. Thomas. Starts going back to Sunday Mass, pretty soon he's going to daily Mass, and he begins to think about the priesthood. Finishes law school, signs on with his big firm, and one day he finally, after a few months, he calls the diocese. And he says, "Would you send me papers to apply for the seminary?" He gets these papers, he has them on his desk one day, and he's praying, "Lord, you know, I just want to do your will." And all of a sudden the phone rings, and it's a good friend of his. He says, "Hey, you've got to meet this girl. She's the perfect one for you." He goes, "Oh my gosh, you know, maybe this is God speaking to me. I'm supposed to get married. What do I do?" So he puts the papers aside, calls this woman. A couple of months go by, they have this great relationship, it's becoming more and more serious, and yet he has this nagging sensation that he's called to be a priest. And it's going on, and finally he thinks, "Okay, either I'm going to marry this girl or become a priest. Lord, I've got to know." So he says, "Okay, I'm going to plan a date. We're going to go out to a really nice restaurant, and I'm going to leave it entirely in your hands. Depending upon how it goes that night, I'll know what your desire is." So he gets all decked out. She's wearing a beautiful dress. He says he picked her up, and she looks stunning. He thinks, "Okay, well, maybe she's the one, right? I'm supposed to get married." They get to the restaurant. He escorts her. You know, the valet takes the car. They walk to the door. He opens the door for her. He said at that moment, a bird flies over and drops all over him, all down the front. And he said in that moment, he knew. He went home. He filled out the papers, sent them to the diocese the next day. That's the way the Lord spoke to him. My first day in the seminary, I knew, I was absolutely certain that it was God's will that I become a priest. I enter the seminary, I arrive there, I felt so uncomfortable. I'm looking around, I don't fit in, this must not be for me, maybe I was wrong, maybe I'm supposed to be in another seminary. And I'm sitting there in one of the conferences that a priest was giving, trying to welcome all the newcomers to the seminary. And I didn't listen to a single thing he was saying. My mind was elsewhere. My mind was on how to get a ticket to get out of there as soon as possible. Fly home. And so I said, "Okay, Lord, I've come here. I've come all this way. You've got to let me know. What should I do?" And all of a sudden, this priest giving the talk, he stops. In mid-sentence, he says, "You know what? There's something placed on my heart that I feel that I'm supposed to read." He reaches down. He picks up a Bible. He opens it up. He flips to the first words of the prophet Jeremiah. That say, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I dedicated you. To whomever I send you, you shall go. And I thought, what are the chances that he reads words from my patron saint in the moment I called upon God? And so I stayed. Fast forward 3 years. I'm coming to the end of my college studies, and then the bishop is going to send me on for theology studies the next 4 years. I come back to Sacramento, I'm meeting with Bishop Wiegand, and he says, Jeremy, you know, I'm looking at 3 separate seminaries, and I'd like to ask what your decision would be if it were your choice. I said, okay. He said, I'm looking at sending you up to Oregon, to Mount Angel Seminary, or possibly to Columbus, Ohio, to the Josephinum, or to the North American College in Rome, Italy. He says, if it were your choice, what would you choose? And I said, Bishop, I'd rather not say. I don't want to have my will be any part of this. He says, no, I'm asking you. What? And I said, Bishop, of the three, I would choose Rome. I got a call a week later saying, you're going to Mount Angel. Up in Oregon. I was, okay, fine, you know, God's will be done. 2 months into that year, the bishop calls again. He says, I've decided next year to send you to Rome. So that summer, the day before I'm going to leave, I get a phone call from the diocese. And they say, oh my gosh, we didn't realize, before you go to Rome, you have to be accepted as a candidate for orders. The bishop has to receive it. Normally that's done in the last year, but when someone is sent to Rome, it's done in advance. And they say, you have to come down here right away. And I was always troubled. I thought, gosh, maybe if I hadn't said anything, I wouldn't be going here. Did my will, you know, affect the bishop's will? Is this God's plan or not? So I go down to the pastoral center. I meet with this priest. He says, okay, you just have to sign this paper. That's it. And then all of a sudden, he's a canon lawyer, so he's very particular. He goes, oh, no. We're supposed to do a reading, too. Let me think. Oh, I got one. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I did. Okay. Fast forward 4 years. The night before my ordination. People get cold feet before they get married. Something similar must happen. It happened to me for priests. I had no doubt. I really believed with all my heart I was called to be a priest. But I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what if I'm wrong? Right, what, you know, should I get married? What am I doing? A friend of mine came out who is a hermit in Texas. We were at Notre Dame together. He comes out. He got permission to be there for my ordination. And the evening before, he stays with me. He's one of my best friends. And we spend some time in prayer together. He said, hey, I have a gift for you. He said, there's a woman in our community, a religious sister. She writes icons. And a couple of months ago, I told her, a good friend of mine is going to be ordained a priest. Would you write an icon for him? And she said, oh, I'd be happy to. What would you like me to write? They say write an icon instead of paint. And he said, you know what? Pray to the Holy Spirit. And whatever he inspires, just do that. He reaches down in his bag. And he hands me this icon that I keep close to me always. It's an icon of the prophet Jeremiah. And there is a scroll in his hands. And she wrote in tiny little scratch, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I dedicated you. To whomever I send you, you shall go. Our Lord speaks. He speaks to every single one of us. And the reality is, every day of our lives, if we had the eyes to see, we would hear his messages over and over, in nature, through friends, through events. And the truth is, he speaks to every person on the face of the earth, because God desires the salvation of all. But what does our Lord say today? If that's true, that he speaks to everyone, why does he say, my sheep hear my voice? Because only those who are open to receive the words that he has to give can receive them. It necessitates a heart that is ready to listen. Someone who desires to hear what God has to say. And this is why a life that is overly cluttered, that's filled with noise and distractions, make it very difficult to hear God's word, though he's trying to speak. And actually, all of us have probably experienced this. There are times where we don't really want to hear what he has to say. Sometimes people come for advice or in confession, and they'll say, "Father, you know, this is going on. I have to make a decision. What do you recommend?" I say, "Well, gosh, have you prayed about it? Have you asked God what he desires?" Well, no, because what if it's not what I desire? Or sometimes there's just the fear, okay, if I give that to him, if I place it in his hand, what is he going to ask of me? And where does his voice always lead? My sheep hear my voice. They follow me, and I give them eternal life. Whereas we heard in the second reading from the book of Revelation, where every tear will be wiped away. And when our Lord speaks, what does he desire? That we obey. And the more readily we obey, the more he speaks to us. You know, sometimes you'll meet somebody, you'll think, "Oh my gosh, God talks to them all the time. Why does he talk to me like that?" Maybe because someone is more responsive than we are. And I want to close with a little story from the life of Saint Faustina, the Divine Mercy saint. She was one time in her convent at the end of the day, a day where she was feeling very sick and tired. She got all her chores done, all her prayers said, so she could go to bed right after night prayer. So she finishes night prayer, she goes right out of the chapel, heading back to her cell, and all of a sudden she just has this sense, this strong sense, that she's supposed to go to one of her sister's cells who is in need of help. And she goes, "Gosh, okay, I don't feel well, but all right, Lord, if this is you." She goes to the sister's room and she finds her bedbound. She had a very severe fever. And the sister can just sort of, you know, slightly lift her head off the pillow and said, "Oh my gosh, thank goodness God sent you. I'm dying of thirst. Can you just get me a glass of tea?" Just this simple, humble request. She goes, she gives this tea, she goes back to her cell. And she said she returned there and her soul was penetrated with a great love for God. And she understood immediately how important it is that we pay great attention to those inner inspirations of the Holy Spirit. And faithfulness to one attracts another. Saint Thérèse of Lisieux would say this: "One grace that is faithfully received will grant from God's heart a host of others." May we ask our Lord today as we receive him to open our hearts like never before to hear his voice and to re-surrender to him with all our hearts, everything in our lives, and to ask that we might be open to his will in everything so that we might obey and through our obedience receive eternal life.